What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Inside Right podcast, episode 14. Today, I'm joined by CEO and founder of Deploy Football, Andrew Head. How are you, Andrew? You good?
Good, thanks, Wes.
That's good. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, first of all, today. This is how we'll run. So we'll talk a bit about you, a bit about the Deploy story to start off with. Then, I know you're a Tottenham fan. We'll talk a bit about that, how you think their season's going so far. Talk a bit about the football world, and we'll finish off with a couple of games. How does that sound?
Sure, sounds good.
Fantastic. All right, so could you please provide an overview before we get started of Deploy and how you started and what's your mission going forward? Just a bit of a brief run through before we get straight into it.
Okay, yeah, brief. Essentially, the mission for Deploy straight out is to basically put Australia on the map for product, for football majority. And sportswear. So,
awesome.
Excuse me, that was the
that was the aim?
When I first got involved, there was no real Australian brand who was noted in football worldwide or that anybody could tell me there was one. And that sort of became my goal.
Yeah, there you go.
And that sort of brought into the staff now and the crew that who were on board with us is to put us on the map as Australia grows as a football country and nation. With the football and coaching now with the likes of Ange.
Fantastic.
I think a brand should go with it and that should be us.
Yeah, so you saw a gap in the market and then you thought, let's fill that with a bit of an Australian twist to it.
Yeah, exactly like right.
That. Fantastic. So, brilliant.
Yeah, pretty much we're sitting there one day at football just with the boys.
Yeah.
I used to play Premier League ground locally here.
Yeah.
In a state league when I was younger and... I just remember sitting there going, surely we could do something like better than this, and the ball that was there.
Yeah.
The amount of inconsistency coming back from, from state league just to Premier League and local football and balls, three or four different balls on the park.
Yeah.
In any one match, lighter, heavier, softer, harder, out of shape. So
exactly.
Thought there was a bit of a space.
Well, to make you feel good, everywhere I see now, it's a Deploy football. I play for Lily Pilius, and especially all their soccer balls are Deploy. So you're doing a great job. Did you start Deploy? Did you kick it off? And if so, tell me about the very first stage of this Deploy story.
So 100% myself kicked it off. I didn't know really what I wanted to do. I'd done a few things, during my 20s, and I realised that I wanted to really have my own business, and there was a couple of opportunities in different markets, I guess you could say, and I chose probably the most difficult one to get into business in the football because I loved it.
Yeah,
and that's what I learned a few lessons there. And a couple of years later, I thought I'm going to do this myself, and that's what we did. And I essentially started Deploy. I found the name in breeding an army.
There you go. Talk us behind the name. How did the name come along?
So Deploy. I was reading an article.
Yeah.
It was about the army,
okay.
And basically you deploy a system, you deploy a tactic, you deploy troops to win a battle.
Yeah.
And that just resonated. When I first saw it, I went, geez, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
How does that sound? And then putting it up against the likes of other brands in the market.
Fantastic.
Me thinking a little bit big at the time.
Brilliant.
How does it look against Nike, Adidas, or...
Well, that's how you got to think, right? If you don't think the very top, then you don't progress.
100%. You've got to think big and you've got to dream big. And that's, it was a pipe dream to start with. And and here we
look
are
look where it is, right? It's right there.
We've got a long way to go.
I found it in my house,
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What challenges and opportunities have you encountered along the journey? Obviously, these things happen. Challenges do happen, but it's all about how you overcome them. What's some challenges that you faced during starting Deploy?
I think, there's so many challenges you face going into business. And when you start, I think I was so naive. Excuse me. I didn't know what business was about as such getting into it. I hadn't really done too many courses as such, and I just found myself there. That's what I wanted to do. So it was a lot of learning on the run and backing yourself to do it. I think the main thing in doing or getting into business is just having the ability to back yourself first of all and have a go.
100%. Yeah.
And second of all, it's then doing a lot of research and understanding what market you want to get into or what you're getting into. So I cut up every ball on the market for what I thought was worth and balls from overseas to understand what was going on inside of football and why I thought one was better than the other or what didn't work, what did work, and then and then you just got to figure out what the market wants.
Yeah.
So the challenges was one, you know, outside of that, with manufacturing, finding manufacturers who you think can do the job. Coming from ones that certainly couldn't, you learn a big lesson there.
Yeah.
And then you find out where you think your niche is in the market, and the challenges of the credibility then going forward.
Yeah.
You've got to try and find a space for your brand. Is there a space for your brand? Do people believe or start to believe in what you're doing?
Yep.
And then you've got to go forward from there. But there's plenty of challenges, and you get them every day.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
You're partnered with Football New South Wales, plenty more football clubs and associations. Tell us about the story on how these deals came along.
Essentially, really, it was about a different way of thinking, I think. So I had to understand what to get into the market, or how to get into the market, but also put something of value to the areas that weren't seeing any value.
Yeah.
And that was predominantly what it was about. So I had a product, and I'm obviously born and bred in Southern Shire.
Yeah.
A lot of people knew me throughout the area, I guess, and I had a relationship with the governing body at the time, the SSFA and the crew. So I decided to kind of pitch to them and the clubs a deal that made sense.
Yeah.
You know, give us a try. Let's see how we can go. And
awesome.
My product then had to stack up for that. So I made a deal that was almost too hard for them to refuse.
Yeah.
And then from there, I kind of scaled that out.
Yeah, fantastic.
No one was really looking after the associations and the grassroots. And
I still have them
again today. But, so I saw what was, you know, where the problem was, I guess, and tried to put a solution in place.
Fantastic. Just to test the entrepreneur in you here, what makes Deploy so special compared to any other company doing the same thing?
I think it's pretty much what I just mentioned there to start
with.
So relationships is a core value that I always hold for myself and who we deal with.
Yeah.
So doing something different as far as marketing-wise or relationship-wise and actually putting value in the market, I think we actually provided solutions.
Yeah.
That was probably what made us different and still does a little bit more today.
Yeah.
Because we're providing something that the clubs and the grassroots needs, there's better value in the market. So it's all about value for money. But now, over the years, it's sort of more into a niche of product for purpose.
Yep.
So the idea behind the range is to make it a bit more progressive to start with. So from training right through to professional match, there wasn't such a massive gap.
Okay.
So through, you know, you could take it into a tennis ball, they do the same, golf balls, but football never really
had that thing.
You had basic training balls and then match balls, but there was all the inconsistency was enormous.
Yeah.
So I wanted to try and close that gap.
Yeah, fantastic.
That's still something that I continue to do daily, every day.
That's going well.
Yeah.
Are there any specific goals or milestones you want to achieve in the next coming years?
Yes, there is. So we're now, you know, from predominantly being a grassroots brand, we're now pushing, you know, we'll be pushing towards the higher levels, I guess, and to gain credibility in the market from NPL to the FA Cup is on my radar, and that's one.
The FA Cup, wow.
Being the Australian version.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's a, you know, grassroots milestone for where we are as a brand and what our marker is. And then, you know, the A-League would be nice one day.
That'd be great.
But you never know.
Fantastic. That's really good. So next, how many years do you reckon? Is there any aim? Are you putting a date on it when you want to have it done by? Or is it just this is the plan, we'll see how long it takes?
Yeah, it's kind of opportunity. I mean, in the next, you know, for sure in the next 6 to 18 months to 2 years, depending on contract situations, that I'd love to be looking at that. We've looked at it already. And I'd say within those next 2 years, we'll be having a look at that first step. Our relationships with Football New South Wales, Victoria and the likes. We've done some balls for Football West now in Perth, West Australia.
Yeah.
And we're starting to get into New Zealand and Australia. So the goals now, not just for those, FA Cup, et cetera, are to get international to the UK, to the US, et cetera.
Yeah, so fantastic. Awesome. What advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to make a difference in Australian football, just as a whole, as a business standpoint,
We'll be right back with more from Inside Right. Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Advice. I said it before earlier. The main thing that, you know, when you're starting out is you back yourself.
100%. Now,
everyone's got ideas. You know, ideas are aplenty around it, but there's not many who have the guts to start your own brand or your own, whatever you want to do. It could be anything.
Yeah.
The ability to actually take that first step to say, right, I'm going to do it.
Give it a crack.
That's give it a crack. That's the first marker of of you getting somewhere.
Yeah.
And then it's about resilience.
Yeah.
And it's about not giving up.
Discipline, would you put that in there?
Yeah, discipline for sure. I think discipline is very much...
self-discipline,
self-discipline, but the more... You kind of get discipline because you want to do it.
Yeah,
so 100%. Actually enjoying what you do is part of the marker, certainly for me, football.
Yeah.
But I think if you believe in what you're doing and you believe in your idea, don't let anyone tell you it's no good.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the main thing there and keep pushing.
Yeah.
Now, that's also, you got to keep pushing, but you got to, you know, do the research to make sure that you got an actual market there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can't flog a dead horse.
Exactly.
But that's the first step, just backing yourself doing it. You guys have taken the plunge at
17.
You've had Simon Hill on, you know, a couple of weeks ago. I mean,
yeah. And this is something we started 10 months ago.
That's right.
Yeah. I always say, don't take the easy way out. If you're going to go out, go out in a dying in a battle, you know what I mean? Just give it everything. Yeah. Because you know what? If you give it everything for a long enough period of time and keep progressing, I think it will come to pass. I generally believe it. Isaac, what's the saying you say? One no is closer to one yes.
Every no is closer to one yes.
100%.
Yeah.
The amount of footballers that you guys being in football, myself being in football, were told that they wouldn't make it, you know, and they've made it further than anybody, or, you know, the top 1% in this country. It's insane, and you're just never going to get there if you give up.
Yeah, exactly. So what about just take that chance?
Yeah. What's the worst case scenario?
What's the worst that can happen?
I mean, I think the main thing, I think people think that it's, if they fail, it's the worst thing that can possibly happen.
Yeah.
It's actually the best thing.
Yeah.
And then you got to get better at it.
You should learn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Learn from winning.
This stuff's not rocket science, is it? I mean, we all kind of know it, but it's very difficult to do.
I think it comes down to two things. People are scared of making that leap, trying to do something which could ultimately make them the best versions of themselves.
Yeah.
Or they're lazy. And I think they're the two main things which stops majority of people seeking their dreams. And so if you can just be a part of that minority and do everything you possibly can, I really think your dream will come true. I believe that.
And why not?
I think that's what happened with you.
And why not, right?
Yeah.
You will learn, and you learn every day, but you don't learn anything if you don't have a go.
Exactly.
And there's just no, you know, reduce the risk by doing the research.
Yeah. Know what you're doing, of course.
If you try and know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You will fail at times, you know, that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
If you do, you learn.
Yeah.
And then that's the resilience that comes in then. The resilience comes in is you just got to keep going.
100%. Number one favorite moment from this deploy journey. Do you have one? If there's a few, say a few. That's fine.
Yeah. You know, like obviously there's key moments recently over the last year being at FIFA and being invited to go to FIFA and then joining the program and just walking in the door and then, you know, walking into those grounds in Zurich was a pretty cool moment.
Awesome.
And then being invited to that next sort of researchers and manufacturers day the day after.
Yeah.
There's a small group of researchers into, you know, what's happening going forward with FIFA and the market. That was pretty cool. But I don't think you could ever come back to The one thing that I always get a buzz out of, and I don't think I'll ever not, and that gives me the most joy, is seeing kids using the football everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I'm coaching my daughter now. There's footballs everywhere.
Next gen, right?
Deploy ground, that are just kicking a ball around. They've got their arm.
Yeah.
They've got the ball under their arm.
Yeah.
Taking it down with their mum or dad for a kick.
Yeah.
That's the best,
mate. It's funny because I'll give you a story. A few weeks ago when I called you, I was out in the park in Seymour Shore, and I was kicking a ball around, and then I looked at the logo at the end of the column. I'm like, oh god, it's a deploy ball. That's awesome. It's fantastic. Yeah. Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Have you met anyone through being a part? Well, you know what I'm trying to say. Have you met anyone through FIFA?
Yes.
Have you met any? Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. We've sort of started to meet, but I guess. Indirectly, I said g'day to Mr. Arsene Wenger.
Oh wow!
Who was obviously quite a rival coach to my Spurs outfit.
Right?
But you can't argue with what he did with the Invincibles. What a manager!
Extraordinary!
And what a character for football to go forward.
Yeah.
So he'd probably be.
Stage,
you know, I've obviously met a few footballers here and there, and there's some great ones. I've got some good mates who have played some decent level. But I'd say that would be a standout. Hopefully many more to come.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, that leads into my next point quite well. You're a Tottenham fan. Walk us through on how you became a Tottenham fan. Is it through family or what is it?
So my old man came out to Australia when he was 17.
Gotcha.
He's a Pommy. Through and through. His old man supported Spurs.
Went for Spurs.
Yep.
His older brothers went for Chelsea and one other for Spurs. So, he grew up northeast of London.
Yep.
So he came out to Australia and I was born into the Spurs atmosphere.
Yeah, and then ever since that moment, it's just been Tottenham.
Yeah, never change.
Fantastic. Never change. Agreed. You got to stay. Exactly.
Ridiculous as it is sometimes.
Yep. Wow. Thoughts on them this season? Can
really
we describe
tough,
it?
Really tough to watch this year.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest. I've just had a son, 2 months old.
Okay.
And
congratulations.
Thanks. And the last 2 months since, you know, obviously he's not old enough to watch, but I've been sort of sitting up with him and I go, beauty, game's on.
Yeah.
Let's go, son.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I didn't think I'd ever be apologising to him saying, mate, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, young fella. You're born into this.
I'm so sorry. You're a Tottenham fan now.
I mean, the poor kid. But honestly, literally proper Spursy stuff going on at the moment. I think they've lost a bit of identity of football.
Yeah, 100%.
And they need some clearer changes from direction from above, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
They got to get a football culture back.
Yeah, 100%.
How they do that's going to be really interesting. And,
a challenge.
The director of football they're trying to look for now before they get a manager in place.
Yeah.
There's something that's got to change.
Yeah.
Whether they stick with Mason or not, he's a proper Spurs boy through and through.
Yeah.
Has he got the nous to manage so early in his career? That's another question, you know. You like the likes of Lampard and Gerrard have found it very tricky.
Yeah.
and there's some big managers out there who would be handy for the job.
Yeah.
I'd just like to see someone who puts a bit of a culture in play and he's given the opportunity to build a squad for 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
That's where they are
really
now.
Develop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, if you're in charge of getting a new manager, who are you picking?
Oh, it'd be hard to go past Nagelsmann, obviously, because he's so far he's been outstanding.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, some stuff coming out of Bayern
that
was interesting.
A bit interesting.
But, you just don't know how that plays out. We need a manager that has a decent attacking style.
Yeah.
But makes a bit of sense because that's Spurs' heritage.
Yeah.
But you still want to be winning football matches. We've had arguably two of the best managers in the ever, Conte and Mourinho in the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And that hasn't worked. And
yeah,
I'd say there's a few reasons for that.
Have you seen all or nothing Tottenham with Jose.
Yeah, loved it.
It was good, eh?
I love that
stuff. I'm not sure if you've seen the Arsenal one. But
no, I haven't.
The Arsenal one's very, very good too. Yeah, but I saw the Tottenham one. It's very good.
Is the Arsenal one going on this year as well? Or?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so, eh? I don't think so.
I wouldn't mind watching the tail end of that one.
We'll watch the last episode, shall we? Harry Kane's now the second Premier League top scorer of all time. Where would Spurs be in the last 5 years without Harry Kane?
Oh, it's a fantastic question and very hard. I mean, every team's got their big players that are really dominating, you know.
Yep.
Outside of Man City, who have got plenty. But you saw what a number nine's done for them.
Yeah.
You know, he's just come out and banging goals in left, right, and centre. I dare say Harry Kane would have banged in a few if he was with City this year too. But
he would.
Haaland's just a different boost.
He is.
But as far as Harry for Spurs, I mean, he's a number 10. He's a number 9.
He can pass the ball.
His passing and vision is insane.
Yeah.
Like, he's just been incredible.
Yeah.
We've had some fantastic players alongside him as he's grown up, you know, too. His son, he's a bit off this year, and I don't know why, but he's been ridiculously good.
Yeah.
I'm
a fan of the Kulusevski. I'm a fan of him.
Great. He's quality. He's come in and been awesome, but this year.
Even then, this season's different. Just been a little bit off.
I think they've just been 2-1 out. Honestly, I think they've relied on that too much, and Bentancur has been a fantastic signing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's been injured.
Yeah.
Basuma, I thought, would be good. He's been injured. So I don't know that he's been able to get going in a new environment. Richarlison's been, you know, indifferent, right?
That Liverpool game, right? He scored the goal. You were probably thinking, you've came back from 3-0 down, and then Jota. The very end.
I mean, that's typical Spurs, I think.
Yeah.
You make that definition. Mistake.
But now I remember Bentancur, last summer, was it?
Yeah, he came with Kulusevski.
Because he started going really well,
quality
I thought.
Quality footballer.
And then the injury, you're right. Mm. That's not great. But
to be fair, in that sort of an atmosphere when you're dealing with Premier League, you've got to have backup, and that's the problem. They don't have the depth in the midfield, certainly, and their defence is a little bit off. So they need more depth in quality of who can pick up a ball and hold on to it, slow the game down, speed the game up. And
Would you say there's not enough balance in the team?
Yeah, their midfield's...
Yep.
They don't have enough playmakers. They don't have a proper number 10 outside of Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Who can threaten, you know, a Modric, for instance, we've had some great players over the time, Bale, Modric, Van der Vaart, we just don't
Kane can't pass it to himself, right?
No, that's right. No. So they need a bit of creativity, 100%. And they need someone who can play out from, you know, get the ball from the back, pick it up, and Bentancur's been that, actually. That's where he's filled in. So too many mistakes at the back, too.
There you go. Mm. Here's a fact for you, which might ruin your day, and I do apologise, but when Kane was at Norwich... He would have more trophies if he stayed at Norwich.
Yeah.
Mm. Let that one sink in.
He wouldn't be Premier League's highest.
He wouldn't be Premier League, exactly. Mm. Yeah, you got to take the positives. When you guys were in the grand final of the Champions League against Liverpool, did you watch the game live and where were you?
I went to Grimy Tradies with my dad, actually, a couple of mates.
Got up early, watched the game.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that was a massive moment. What a huge year. I mean, within a minute, you wouldn't read about it, really, would you?
Yeah.
Like, how do you pull that in a Champions League game? And it was a rubbish game, to be fair.
It was.
Liverpool were there for the taking. If Spurs had the ability to have a crack, I suppose, it would be the best word.
Yeah.
They didn't push forward too much and they kind of bottled it, I guess you could say.
Yeah, there you go. Mm. Well, the Ajax game previous to that, outstanding, right? How many goals did Lucas Moura get again?
He banged in a hat-trick, didn't he?
Hat-trick.
When, what, the last, how, last few
minutes? It was 2-0 down, and then Moura got 3. Crazy. Yep. And but look, that's a great achievement from a great manager. Pochettino's probably going to go to Chelsea now.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, he just signed, I think. I think it's done deal.
I think it's done deal now.
I don't know. Obviously, there's a little bit more that we don't see, right?
Yeah.
We don't see him behind the scenes. So
I
wouldn't have been opposed to bringing him back. He brought a great culture to the club.
Yeah.
But, you know, the writing on the wall for him was probably the season pre-Champions League. They were going pretty ordinary in the league, and they kind of jumped into the, you know, flopped into the Champions League final, I'd say, with a bit of luck. He didn't get backed, did he? He didn't get backed by the the club to get who he wanted. And I wouldn't have a problem seeing him back. It'd be interesting to see what he does with Chelsea.
Yeah. Something needs to be done with Chelsea, I'll tell you that much.
They're a bit of a – there's just 20 good players put into one team with not much, you know, vision or plan, it looks like, at the moment. So I'd say he's one that could put them into a, you know, in a – he could get them going, for sure.
Yeah, you never know, right?
Good. They've got some good attacking players.
Could flick the switch and we'll see a different Chelsea.
100%. I mean, they've got decent footballers there. It's, you know, it's just about a matter of – and apparently he's got some cash to go and get – three or four more, so see how that plays out.
Yeah, let's talk about another previous Tottenham manager, Antonio Conte. Thoughts of his stay at the club? Rank it out of 10 first, and then give me a bit of a debrief on how you thought he went at Spurs.
I was excited when he first came because I thought he might whip the boys into shape, and actually, even though he's, you know, a I wouldn't say a defensive coach, but he's probably more a pragmatic approach, potentially,
definitely.
You would say, and that how that was going to sit with Spurs. But the writing's on the wall. I don't think we have the cattle, to be honest, to be able to pull off what he does and his system. He's predominantly been able to go out and get players that he wants and win trophies by doing that. I don't think he's had the ability to do that with Spurs, and he certainly doesn't have the defence capability to play what he's got.
Exactly.
I think they just played one out. So Conte's pretty straightforward. I think he doesn't mince his words. He gets out there and gets in front of it. But I think it's some words that probably Spurs needed to hear, I guess.
Is this a change? Does this come down to a change of owner at the end of the day? Because Conte did say a little bit about that, which might have got him the sack in the end. But
you know, I know there's lots against Levy, right? But the where the club is outside of football on the pitch, and I know it is all about football on the pitch, but the club right now, and I suppose I've been saying this to year, for years from with my, to my mates, I mean, you wait, they're on, I mean, they've got a world-class stadium.
Fantastic.
If not the best in the world, it is. It's kind of self-funds itself with what they do there now. So there's going to be plenty of cash coming into the Spurs ecosystem. I think they're the most green club in the Premier League now. Which is whatever mark you want to see, but it's actually it's putting money into areas where they can then develop. They've got the best training ground in the world. So I think they're setting a solid base. And I mean, it was $1.2 billion or something, the stadium cost.
Crazy.
So what I hope is that when they have the cash that they can spend, they spend it on players and they spend it on the team, and they and Levy gets out of the way as far as footballing transfers are concerned. That's kind of what I hope happens. So as far as a businessman, obviously he's extremely good. You can't argue with that. It's 100%. Now it's about get it right on the pitch.
Let's get the football right now.
That's right. Well, you don't employ Mourinho and Conte if and you don't want to win.
Exactly. You know, 100%.
I mean, that's something that he's done. But unfortunately, it's those 11 players on the pitch and the squad as a whole that get them over the line.
There's got to be an issue why Mourinho went to so many clubs, won everywhere he went, and then he went to Tottenham and didn't win anything. That has to scream alarm bells, surely. Couple of quick fires to finish off the Tottenham talk. Best game this season?
I honestly can't remember one this year. I'm not sure. It was early on,
I
would say.
I'm trying to remember.
Early on.
Okay, I've got one for you. Son came off the bench, scored a banger with his left and scored a banger with his right. I can't remember the final score.
I can
imagine as a Tottenham fan that felt a bit magical.
It did for him more than anything. I think he was first time he was benched in a long time for playing, and he came off the bench. And Sonny's done it before a while back. I think he did it. He just has that ability
spark.
To go, you know what, I'm not taking this sitting on the bench. He doesn't whinge, moan. He just gets out there and gets
proves
himself every time.
So
more for him, to be honest. I think it's not to say that was the best game. I don't know that they've played maybe a half of football that's been decent. Throughout the year.
But not a whole 90.
I mean, geez. It's just I can't even think of one that I'm really that excited about this year.
Well, I think we can both agree on this next one. Worst game this season, Newcastle.
Yeah. Writing was almost on the wall, to be honest. Newcastle are flying.
Were you watching that live?
Did I watch it? I can't remember whether I watched that live.
I watched it live. I couldn't believe what I was watching. Could not believe it.
Yeah, I get up and watch the replays early in the morning if I do, on the Optus, to be fair, most of the time.
Yeah. These Newcastle midfielders were scoring Stevie G's. Like, it was crazy.
It just goes to show you, though, Newcastle didn't expect to be this far up.
Yep.
You know, they're setting up for next season.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show you what a good manager
can do.
Eddie Howe can do. Yeah. You get people on song. You get everybody on board and you get them to buy into what they're doing. And
100%.
And they've been outstanding. Because Brighton, the same thing.
Oh, it was De Zerbi. It's fantastic to watch as well. It's not just getting the results, but the football they're playing is amazing. Obviously, Newcastle got the new owners, 18 months ago now? Not much has changed, though. Like, they haven't gone out and splurged a Neymar or a Modric, you know? They've kept it nice and simple. Bruno Guimarães coming to the team, Alexander Isak. And it just shows that sometimes, let's not be stupid with our money, Todd Bowley, and spend it all at once. Let's take our time. And I think Newcastle have executed that perfectly so far.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge for them over the next year, though, or two, because they are expected to spend. So when you've got a side that's been doing as well as they have, the balance then now will be the trick for them too.
Yeah.
They've got to bring in the right players for the right money, and then they've got to keep the rest of the squad happy, right, who have done the job.
Yeah.
So that's where the challenge for the managers come in now, and so Eddie Howe have that on his plan.
You reckon they'll fall into a bit of a trap now?
No, I don't. Well, they do. They do if they... they recruit ordinarily.
Yeah.
That's where, the transfer market, the recruiting is absolute paramount, and that's where Spurs have been very poor over the years, as opposed to Liverpool, who went out and bought VDV and the goalkeeper, Alisson, two transfers for 130 off the back of...
Yeah, got rid of Coutinho and got those two.
You got over 135 million. And you recruited beautifully. That was what you needed. And that's what we haven't been able to do.
Very smart,
You know, and it's being smart. So,
100%.
Yeah,
where do Tottenham finish this season? How many games got Tottenham to go? Two or three games left?
I think they played 35, I think everyone's on
there. Oh, we've got 36. I was asking. It might be 36, though, because I think they played on the weekend, Tottenham.
Yeah, they're always a couple of games in front of everybody else, I think, at the time. But,
so how's the placing looking, you reckon?
We're half a chance of finishing seventh. If not, it'll be eighth, I think.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I think. And to be honest, I'm not even that fussed. If they miss the Conference League, for instance, maybe they get a chance to not play midweek and actually concentrate on
100%.
On keeping players on the park and then the Premier League.
Yeah.
I think if you're not in the Europa League, you'd like to be in that. I know it's a second... They say it's a second-tier competition, but you can't tell me players don't like playing in Europa.
Or Europe, you know?
In Europe in general, right?
Yeah.
So it wouldn't faze me this year. I mean, remember Chelsea, they did it, and the next year they won the league.
Yeah, so exactly.
I think there's some potential benefits where Spurs are at to not actually make it.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're going to miss out from the top four.
Yeah, if. Yeah. You should, otherwise, you should top strive four, 100%. For that. Right, 100%. In the next 5 years, how many trophies do Tottenham collect? If any at all.
Well, let's go for one League Cup, and let's go for a FA Cup for being a little bit
optimistic.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, two trophies, two domestic cups.
Yeah, well, considering the last one was quite a while ago.
Last question: rank this season out of 10.
It's got to be a 2.
Two.
Yeah, it's one of the worst seasons they've had in a long time.
Yeah, wow. Mm. Well, the style of football has not been great at all.
Yeah, it's been poor.
Terrible.
And they started off, they actually finished off last year reasonably well. And they had every opportunity, I think, to go forward this year.
Yeah.
Certainly better than what they've done. But, yeah, I think it's been one of the worst seasons in a long time for quality of football and direction.
There you go. All right, well, we've got two games to wrap it up. The first game we're going to play is just a quick, it's like a warm-up game. It's a this or that. and you choose which player you'd prefer on your team or which player you prefer as a, just an individual. And then we'll get into the real game, which is the tradition called the Talking Soccer Bollocks Quiz.
Yeah.
10 questions, 60 seconds. We'll leave that for later today. And let's start with this or that. Phil Foden or Bukayo Saka, if you had to pick one?
Foden.
Foden, why?
Saka's Arsenal footballer, so
fair enough.
No, but in all fairness, they've both been outstanding.
Yeah.
I think Foden for his ability to fit into a few different more positions.
And to get a game in that city.
Yeah, a bit of guile too to get him, you know, get players in behind and moving off the ball. Yeah.
Yep. Now, I will say this next one. If you don't know the player, tell me and I'll come up with a new one off the top of my head. So we've got Callum Wilson and Tayo Awoniyi, who's the striker at Nottingham Forest. I think he scored 2 goals against Chelsea on the weekend.
Yeah, Forest have been really interesting, actually. They've actually played some decent football
this year. And they've bought a lot of players too.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I haven't seen enough of them to make a call on which one.
Yeah.
But let's go with Forest football. Yeah. Okay. Let's go with the striker.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. I do have a stat for Callum Wilson, though. Since April, he's got the most goals in all of Europe.
Has he really?
More than Haaland. Yeah. It goes under the radar. 10 goals.
100%, yeah. 100%. Yeah, phenomenal. No, I haven't seen enough of him to make a proper, but, you know.
Yep.
That's a good start.
Mac Allister or James Maddison?
Madison.
Madison?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Madison.
Big fan?
Yeah, like him. I'd love to see him at Spurs.
Yeah, he would be great at Spurs. Yeah. Ericsson replacement.
Yeah, somewhat. Yeah,
somewhat.
Yeah. I think he'd give Harry Kane a hell of a lot more room.
Yeah.
To do what he does best.
Yeah.
Banging goals.
Yeah. I will just mention this really quickly. Does Harry Kane leave in the summer?
I honestly, I'm fine if he does. He deserves to win trophies.
Yeah.
In saying that, I think there's a huge. Now that he's been there so long, he's actually got the ability now to take that next step with the club.
Yeah.
Continue scoring goals. Obviously, he's just passed Jimmy Greaves.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's got a potential to maybe do a bit more with the club and have a bit more of a say going forward once he finishes football.
Yeah.
But, look, I wouldn't begrudge him if he left.
He's 28, 29, right? So he's still got a solid 4 or 5 years left in him. So it'll be very interesting to see how he spends that last couple of years of his prime of his career. Mac Allister, I will say, Liverpool are looking, they're very close to getting him. Do you reckon he'd be a great signing for Liverpool?
I must admit, I don't know a lot about Mac Allister.
No one really did till the World Cup.
Yeah.
I will say that. After the World Cup, where for Argentina, he started the World Cup final and played phenomenal. It wasn't until that moment people didn't really know who he was. But
I think the World Cups are risky in that regard too.
Yeah.
I think while some players really kick on from the World Cup, there's others that end up getting transferred for a Mozza and they don't really...
Enzo Fernandez.
Yeah, they're not really at that top level. And
the
Premier League's tough, man. The Premier League's super tough.
100%.
For many quality 100%. Footballers.
Now, this is an Arsenal player. I do apologise. And this is a Tottenham player, the other one as well.
Yeah.
Eric Dier. Just try and think of them just as footballers if you can.
We'll do.
Eric Dier. Or the centre-back, Gabriel?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Saliba, and that would have been a hands-down Saliba, to
be fair. I didn't say Saliba. I wanted to make it a bit more even.
Oh, both good for mistakes.
They both got a mistake in them. That's why I picked them.
I think, to be fair, I think much of a muchness. I can't go against a Spurs boy.
Got to go Eric Dier,
don't
you?
I've just got to go Eric Dier.
Yeah.
I've been disappointed in Dier, I've got to be honest. He's been out of the team in the last couple of weeks. I think maybe once through injury and one he didn't get picked. I think he's going to have a battle.
Yeah.
I think they'll bring in new players and he'll have his battle in his hands to start. But I can't take an Arsenal player over him.
Even the game against Liverpool a few months ago, we beat you guys 2-1 away from home, and Eric Dier made this stupid mistake for Salah's second goal where he chipped the keeper. And it just shows those signs where sometimes, because every game in the Premier League matters, right?
Yeah.
And you can't be giving away mistakes like that, you know? And that's the same with Liverpool this season. You know, we've made mistakes, and if we do finish fourth or third, it would be extraordinary because it's our worst season and we still make top four. That would be great for me. But all I'm saying is every moment counts.
100%. Right? Well, Liverpool have actually had a half decent season considering where they could have finished.
Well, if we finish, if we win our last two games, it's 11 games unbeaten and 9 consecutive wins.
Mm.
Like, God, when it matters, we can do it. Alan Shearer or Harry Kane?
I'll
leave it at that.
Wow. Well, Alan Shearer is, you know, that's the target, right, for Kane.
Yeah.
I think he's got some 50 goals to go or something like
that.
He should do it.
You think he would do it, yeah.
Alan Shearer's an out-and-out goal scorer, isn't he? He's out-and-out number 9. Harry Kane's got a bit more in his kit bag. He's got he's a number 10 as well as a number 9, and that's what he's sort of been doing. So I'd have to go, that's a tough one.
Who would you prefer in your team?
Harry Kane.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, it is time for the proper game now, the Talking Soccer Bollocks quiz. May I use your timer, Isaac, if that's all right, mate? Thank you very much. Cheers. Minute timer, 10 questions. Pretty much just try and name as much as you can. You can say pass because we are under time conditions. Say pass if you don't know it. We'll come back to it at the end. Let's see how you go. All right, you ready?
Sure, shoot.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go. What nationality is Kostas Tsimikas?
Croatian.
No. What age is Anton Griezmann?
29.
No. What is the name of Norwich's stadium?
Oh, wow. I should know that.
You can press pass, yeah. Manchester City, Everton on the weekend. What was the score?
4-0, 4-1.
No, sorry, I'm going to have to move you on. Australia, Asian Cup 2023 group stage. Who's in their group stage?
Sorry, say that again.
So Australia is in the Asian Cup 2023 group stage. Name the other three countries in their group.
India.
Yes, that's fine. How many goals has Richarlison got in the Prem?
1.
Yes. What number does Lucas Moura wear?
27.
Yes. Who won the 2008 League Cup?
Spurs.
Yes. True or false, George Weah has won a Ballon d'Or?
Oh.
Now, we're out of... It's true, 1995.
Did win it, yeah.
We got one more question. I will give it to you if you do get it correct.
Yep.
What club does Iago Aspas play for?
Got no idea.
It's all right. Celta Vigo.
Celta Vigo.
There's your answer. So let's go through what you did get correct.
Not many.
League Cup, correct. Lucas Moura, 27. 1 goal. India. Manchester City beat Everton 3-0 away from home. Yeah. Carrow Road is Norwich's stadium name.
Yep.
Anton Griezmann is 32. Kostas Tsimikas is Greek, but I think you said Croatian. It's a good guess. 1995 Ballon d'Or winner was George Weah. True. Celta Vigo. There you go. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4 in a 1 minute time condition is pretty good. It's pretty good. we've had 2, we've had 1, so that's pretty good.
Pretty poor at general knowledge, I've got to be honest.
Well, we're wrapping up today's episode, Andrew. Thank you so much for being on. Before we go, is there one message you do have for the audience about just if you have a dream, go for it? Is there any last words you'd like to say before we finish the episode?
Oh, I think you just said it. You hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
You got a dream, go for it, why not? The question is, what's the worst thing that can happen? That's what you got to ask yourself.
Yeah.
Everyone gets scared, everyone's nervous, or you get anxious about these things. The fact is, you're better off having a go, and if you don't, you'll always be thinking about the what-ifs, so take those out of the equation.
There you go. We'll leave it at that, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining me today, Andrew. It's fantastic. See you guys later.
No worries. Episode 15.
See ya.
Appreciate it.